Good evening. It's good to be with you. Feels like I haven't been up here in a while. I don't think I have, but it's good to be with you. I think last time I was up here, I was doing the fruit of the Spirit. We're just going to go ahead and continue. And the subject we're going to talk about tonight is about gentleness. And if you would, turn to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know, we could use more gentleness in our life today. We could. Sometimes we get angry, say rude things when they really deserve a kind word. And we need to reach for kindness more than we do when we get than rude things. We don't know what kind of a day a person may have, though. Definition of gentleness: the quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered, softness of action or effect, lightness. And I just picked up some quotes. Be healing with your hands. Be tender with your words. Be gentle with your words. And watch your words bring gentle, tender healing in the hearts of others. Also another quote: the greatest strength is gentleness. But sometimes it's not the strength but gentleness that cracks the hardest shells. That's another quote. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Gentleness is strength under control. It's the ability to stay calm no matter what happens. We need to be gentle in our dealings with others. How we treat others can have an impact when we least expect it. Many times we think no one is watching, but we must remember that God is. God is watching, and so are others. In Psalm 18, verse 35, you have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. Being gentle is a choice. Being gentle is a choice that we make when we deal with others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Ephesians 4 and verse 2. And this is Paul here. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. We must be gentle with each other. The Bible teaches Christians to be gentle and kind. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast, but it is not arrogant. Also in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such is as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Also, Titus 3, verses 1 and 2. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready, and for every good work. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. When we think of gentleness, it's often thought to, number one, sometimes it's looked at as being a pushover, maybe too soft and afraid to speak up or afraid to hurt feelings. A second thing might be never speaking up. The world tries to tell us how to live and not to criticize others. But the world often tries to convince us to sign a truce. And that truce, and that is like when things pass through legislation that protects various sinful behaviors. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. The Bible tells us to flee immorality. We need to make an impact on the world and not be the other way around. We need to impact the world. We need real gentleness. It's a character which is at once passionate and gentle in the highest degree. James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word that is able to save your souls. We must put all this away and practice goodness. Gentleness is not a lack of spirit or courage. Rather, it is where one's spirit, energy, courage, and passion has been the focus. It does not get angry at sin. We're not talking about weakness, but strength that is being directed in godly and constructive ways when fighting the good fight. There is the temptation to want everything polite and for every conversation to be comfortable. We know that comfort can kill, though. Comfort can kill. Let's look at Revelation 3, verses 15 through 17. Revelation 3, verses 15 through 17. And this is the church at Laodicea. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. We don't want to be a lukewarm church. I've often wondered if God came down and saw how we were doing things, would he be pleased? Would God be pleased? You know, our standards sometimes doesn't meet God's standards, but it should. But sometimes we do just enough to get by. We will have to, we're going to have to answer to that someday. We must realize we need God more than ever. We should never get to the point where we don't need him. The day we think that we don't need him, we better reassess our thought process so we can make better decisions. We must do our best when we realize life is a battle. It's a personal battle that is often in very close quarters. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We can win this battle by putting on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Talks about the belt of truth. Talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Readiness given by the gospel of peace. Talks about the shield of faith. And then helmet of salvation. Satan can be defeated. And it's up to us to fight with confidence. Every Christian is viewed as a soldier on the front lines and very involved in the thick of battle. We can find here a believer who is trying to play it safe and hide, but they're being shot at. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Ephesians 6, verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. There's not a one of us who are not in a battle. We must be ready to fight and do it with confidence. God is on our side. God is on our side. Gentleness includes the courage to ask the type of questions that really need to be asked. We must be kind in our question asking. When talking to someone who knows the truth but has not been living it, questions might be, number one, what have you gained by not following God? What have you gained by not following God? Number two, do you realize how much time has passed? Time you can't get back. Number three, we really need you back on the battle. We need you back in the battle on the right side. And then a fourth thing might be Proverbs 27 and verse 5. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. People need to hear the truth. We must not sugarcoat it. Let the truth speak for itself, and it has the power. It has the power to give, and we must trust it, and leave the results to God. Let's talk about gentleness and sin here in Ezekiel 3 and verse 17 through 19. Ezekiel 3 verses 17 through 19. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Verse 19, but if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will you will have delivered your soul. We have a responsibility to correct and also to be corrected. Most of us don't like it when someone points out our wrongs. We tend to get defensive, but we probably should thank that person. You know, people who were searching for the truth were treated with patience and kindness. In Luke 15 and verse 1, Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And that was Jesus. Proverbs 15 verse 1, Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Sometimes we get sarcastic or just harsh with our words. God wants us to be patient and think before we speak. There were several in the Bible who were rebuked for wrongdoing. When David sinned with Bathsheba, also Simon the sorcerer, he wanted the same spiritual gifts as the disciples. Also, even the seven churches mentioned in Revelation. If we need to be corrected, we will be better people for it. Paul changed for the better. He was a bad person, but obeyed the gospel. His slate was wiped clean. His slate was wiped clean. He preached the gospel until his death. In Luke chapter 18, Luke 18 verses 10 through 14. Luke 18, verses 10 through 14. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Pharisee was quick to point out everyone else's faults. He was quick to point out everyone else's faults and look, and then say, look what I've done. That's the type of attitude that he had. This will get us nowhere in life. That type of attitude will get us nowhere. The tax collector had the attitude that we need to follow. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's not easy to admit that we're sinners, that we've done wrong, and we should feel shameful, just like this tax collector. He couldn't even lift his eyes toward heaven. We must walk humbly and realize that we are sinners, and we must repent of those wrongs that we've done. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 Peter 3, verse 4. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. This is what we need more of. It's not too late to choose gentleness. It's not too late to choose it. Let's make a good impact on those that we come in contact with. Today is not, it's not too late to choose to be gentle. We need more gentleness in this world that we live in, and we need more kindness as well. And like I said, we're embarking on a new year, and that could be one of our resolutions if you're into that. But like I said, God wants us to be the best that we can be, and he deserves our very best. This evening, if you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are Christian and you've struggled in your daily walk, go ahead and make your need made known as you stand and sing the invitation song.